Do it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Rob with the No BS. I know it's been a while, and it's a crazy time. But I got my boy Adam with me, as always. What's up, Adam?
What's going on, everybody? Long time no see. Hope the quarantine's going well.
We wanted to do a dual video thing like we used to, but due to Facebook and every app apparently changing their rules and stuff, it makes it nearly impossible to do face-to-face web chats anymore. So for whatever reason, we're left to do it this way. So, but at least you get to still hear Adam's opinion, even though they're false, but you still get to hear them. Because we all want to hear what Adam has to say, even though I may not agree with everything that he says when it comes to a particular person, but it is what it is. So, Adam, just real quickly, man, how you handling everything, all the quarantine and stuff, bro?
Oh, man, it's life's been crazy, man. You know, just thankfully with our job, and you can attest to this because you work for the Purple, we're still allowed to work and we're deemed essential. It's the first time in my life I've ever been deemed essential, so it's quite an honor.
By the government, of all people.
Right, exactly. But no, man, just been real busy with that. You know, unfortunately, it's been a while, but one of my voices in the background decided to take his way up to the heavens, and rest in peace, Pierre. But, you know, I still got my other fan here, Lacey. She will probably make herself known and heard at some point. But no, besides that, hopefully everyone's doing okay. Thank you for the people there in the healthcare field, anyone that's having to work right now and put themselves in the front line of everything going on. Thank you for what you're doing. We really appreciate it. And we hope that tonight we can, you know, enlighten you a little bit, help you relax, and really put the end to the debate that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time over LeBron James. But we'll save that for later. But no, it's good to be back. Rob, how have you been, my friend?
Oh, man. Well, before, I mean, obviously, same as you, man, been working a lot, as you mentioned, the Purple Promise. Both of my jobs, I'm very thankful in this tough economy that both of my jobs are deemed essential, and I'm working, you know, so I feel thankful for that. Man, other than that, man, I'm just trying to do my part in social distancing, you know. There's only a few amount of people I see on a daily basis. You know, if I go to Walmart, I try to keep my distance and things like that. And, you know, I do live with my grandfather who's, you know, so I try to stay safe for myself so that I can be safe for him. So, you know, so I'm doing my part like everybody else. And, you know, I keep up on the news, you know. It looks like we might be turning a curve in all this. So hopefully, I don't know about you, Adam. And I mean, I don't mean to call you out, but before we got on live chat, I got to see your hair, and it looks like, just like myself, that's probably the hardest part about this is maybe seeing your regular barber. Although yes, I miss sports and I miss the, you know, going to Chinese buffets and et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on of things that I miss. But one of the things that has been hitting me the hardest is not being able to go to the barbershop.
Dude, this is probably the longest my hair has been since I was like 13 or 14 years old. So,
right.
You know, trying out new things. Luckily, I'm on vacation this week from the job. So not having to shave at least is a added bonus. But
yeah, thankful for me, I have a wonderful girlfriend. Shout out to Marley. Who cut my hair. She didn't do a terrible job, you know, and she will contest if she was here with you about how back and forth I went with letting her do it. But it came to the matter of, it's not likely going to be open anytime soon as far as my barber. So I think it was just time for her to just do it. And so she did her dad's, and I let her dad go first so I could see if I trusted her enough to do it. And you know what? She passed the test. It doesn't look all that bad. You know, it was a little shorter than what I'm used to, but I wear a hat most of the time anyway, and not only that, but by the time I go back to work, it'll probably be grown out anyway, so it's okay. But anyway, Adam, continue to do your part, as I will. It's kind of fitting that we decided to do this, because, I mean, we haven't done a no podcast in a long time. I mean, just think about all that's happened in sports. I mean, even more recently, but just think about what's happened since we last did a podcast. I mean, obviously we had our tragic Kobe Bryant, RIP. Man, so much has happened in sports since we last spoke.
Oh, and absolutely, man. I mean, it's unprecedented times, not only with the events going on, you know, with the COVID-19 virus, but just everything in general. I mean, the year got off to with the Kobe Bryant tragedy and just some everything else that's going on. I mean, Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers and now retirement.
Yeah, now it sucks and now I have to deal with them in the South for the next 2 or 3 years. So that's great.
But let's be honest, man, it's not like Atlanta was going to go anywhere this year anyway. So, I mean, it is what it is.
That's a debate for another day.
But hey, you know what really is important about today, Rob?
What's that?
What day of the week is it?
It's Tuesday. What's significant about today?
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. I haven't heard LeBron say that in a long time. You would think with all this free time you would be celebrating Taco Tuesday more.
We don't need LeBron to say it, you just need me to say it.
There you go. I love it.
But no, the real, like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean, the real reason why we came back, I mean, we like doing the show. We like hearing y'all and hearing your voices and opinions. It's just timing's difficult and being between multiple states, you know, it's kind of tough and we're not all 100% technology savvy, but at the end of the day, those are all excuses and we'll have some talks about coming back on more frequently in the future once everything gets back to normal. But we definitely wanted to come out and talk tonight about this little documentary that ESPN started last Sunday. I don't know if any of you guys watched it. Were you able to catch that, Rob?
Oh, yeah, I watched it twice. I almost watched it a third time, but I didn't get around to it. But it came out perfect, man. With no sports, it kind of felt like, for once, a live event was happening, even though it wasn't necessarily live. Like, although it was a documentary and things that aren't happening in real time, it felt like, in a way, that it was, just for the fact it was the closest thing to sports that wasn't I guess it was pre-recorded, because obviously you're watching old highlights, but in a sense, we were all watching something for the first time we didn't entirely know what was going to happen. Like, obviously we knew that the Bulls won in 97 in the championships, but we didn't know what went into making that championship. So that part made it exciting in sports again, because for once we didn't know what we were exactly going to see and what was going to happen. You know, you have all these replays on with the Super Bowl and all these other things. For the most part, if you watched that game, you knew what was going to happen and you knew how it was going to happen. But in this sense, like, yeah, we knew the Bulls were going to win, but we didn't know how it was going to happen in the sense of what led to it, and that's what made it exciting. You know, so for once, it was something new we haven't seen.
Man, but you got you're a little bit younger than me. For those that don't know, I'm the grandpa. Actually, there's another person that's the grandpa of the group, but we'll go there later. But, I'm a little older than Rob and Dustin. Shout out to Dustin. I know he's busy with his, as Rob likes to call it, his starting five, but we'll try to get him on at some point. But
he hasn't even watched the documentary yet either.
Oh, he watched it last night. I know he did. Oh, we were playing 2K, and he talked about how he was getting ready to watch it afterwards. I started watching basketball in about 92, 93 when my family moved from New York to Missouri. I was about 5 at the time. So my first two athletes I remember watching are Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan. So I do remember the 98 season. I remember the second three-peat. So it's kind of just refreshing my memory. Whereas, you know, for some of the younger people that are watching it, it's like a whole new world to them. So,
yeah, like myself, Yeah, I was born in 1990. At that time, what, Michael Jordan had already been in the league for, what, 6 years? And although, yes, I was technically a child whenever he was winning all his championships, like when he won his last one, I was 7, 8 years old. So I guess in a way, you know, for someone like myself, this documentary was awesome because I kind of got to see I kind of got, for me, it was kind of like watching something new for the first time. You know, someone like Adam or Russo or just anyone that's over 30, you know, for the most part, got to watch it live. And so for them, they were kind of just watching things they already seen before, you know, things that they got to live through. And honestly, I never got the chance to live through all this. You know, like I said, the only thing I actually remember growing up, I do remember pretty vividly, for the most part, the Utah Jazz finals when, you know, obviously when Mike hit the iconic push off of Brian Russell and then, you know, the shot where he held the pose. Like, I remember that vividly. That's probably the only thing that I remember a lot of Michael Jordan. And ironically, this documentary covers that season. But that's really the only remembrance I have of Jordan, like, in the moment. Not videos that I've seen on Facebook or YouTube, like things I actually watch live. That's the only remembrance of it. And for those of you who obviously know me well, I'm a LeBron guy. And for the most part, the main reason why, and not even just LeBron, really just anybody in this generation, it could be D-Wade, Kobe Bryant, you know, any one of those people of my era, because these are the players that I got to watch from high school in some scenarios, like LeBron or Kobe, or college. You know, I got to watch them from the beginning to the end of their careers. And for me, it was easier to appreciate and a lot more fun to watch because I didn't have to resort some places like YouTube or Facebook in order to actually fully appreciate and get an idea of how dominant a player was. So whenever you ask me who the greatest player of all time, and this goes for any sport, whether, you know, for with basketball, it's LeBron. But if you were to tell me, like, who's the best NFL player of all time, I'm more likely to choose someone of my generation because I was able to watch and appreciate it as it happened. So that's why, you know, I just want to give you that sense, you know. But for me, like, so the way Adam's watching it is he's probably watching it a lot differently than the way I'm watching it. But the point is that the documentary is awesome. I loved it so far. Like I said, I've watched it twice. Probably going to watch it again right before they air episodes 3 and 4 on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it for the most part because they're going to be start covering the Bad Boy Pistons, which I always thought was a fun era. You know, that was whenever – that was a fun part of the NBA. You know how the the WWE has the Attitude Era? I would say, like, the Bad Boys Pistons was kind of like the Bad Boy era of the NBA. So that's going to be fun to watch. Well, Adam, just on episodes 1 and 2, like, what is something that you've enjoyed watching so far? Maybe something that someone for you, because you, like I said, since you grew up as it was happening, so you probably knew all the rumors that were going on with, you know, Scottie Pippen and the whole drama with, you know, Phil in the front office, Michael in the front office, you know, so you probably heard some of this growing up, where someone like myself, I had no idea this was going on. So, you know, what's something that you learned or that you didn't know necessarily watching the first 2 episodes that you, anything that you like, you found out, you found pretty interesting, pretty fascinating?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Rob. I didn't honestly like, I mean, I was 5 years old. I mean, Jordan, you know, that's what the lore was watching him play. Cause he's like, you know, as someone, I've heard a quote about him, it's poetry in motion, but I don't really recall much of the drama in house with the Bulls. Just from my personal understanding. And just to make it clear, I was raised a Knicks fan, being from New York. My father is a huge Knicks fan. And I was a Jordan fan, not necessarily a Bulls fan. So I want to make that clear before people start saying, oh, how can you go flip-flop back and forth and blah, 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 this and the other. But, yeah, I was a Knicks fan first, so –
Let me ask you an unrelated question. I'm being a Knicks fan. How bad did you hate Reggie Miller?
Man, I was at Yeah, no comment. I remember watching the replay of that game, like, on the news. I didn't watch it as it was going down, but I do remember watching, like, the news and him doing the choke sign to Spike.
Because that was a pretty crazy rivalry back in the 90s with, you know, the Pacers and the Knicks.
Oh, absolutely. But to get back to your question, like I said, I didn't really know all that stuff was going on in-house, but I was kind of confused at first with how the documentary was starting off, because you knew going into it, or those of you that didn't know, it was based on the last season, the 97-98 season, hence why it was called The Final Dance. Thank you. But I understand they got to go back and show, you know, footage of where everyone, their origins and kind of where everyone came from. I was good with that. But I was a little confused at first in the first episode, how it kind of jumped back and forth a little bit. It drew me in instantly, because there's nothing going on right now. I'm glad they got moved up. I mean, it's just something that, you know, people that are LeBron fans or, like, Warriors fans or Miami Heat fans, they need to see this, because this man was doing things that no one has still even touched to do or gotten close to doing on as high of a level as he's been doing it. And it's really going to be interesting to see how the debate goes forward with who the GOAT is once this is all said and done. But back to the documentary. I mean, we were talking about the other day when the first episode ended and they did, like, the Bulls intro with, like, that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I get goosebumps every time I hear that. And that was just a perfect way to end that episode. And then seeing the issues that Scottie Pippen had, which I know we're going to talk on that in a little bit, but just to see it from a different player's perspective was pretty cool. And, I'm really interested to see the Rodman episode on Sunday. But what was your kind of thoughts and opinions, since it's kind of a new world to you in a sense?
So for me, like I said, I didn't know any of this stuff, because my remembrance of Michael Jordan is really of, you know, the highlights. You know, for me, anytime they show highlights of MJ, it's the, you know, the playoffs, you know, game two, Michael Jordan doing that little crisscross shot over Bird, or it's the shot, or it's the reverse layup. You know, the only thing I remember of Michael are the highlights, not much of the storylines, that went along with those, if that makes sense. Let me start specifically on episode one. So I had no idea about the whole front office thing. I've never heard of Jerry Krause. I had never heard of Jerry Reinsdorf, or however you say his name. I will say I do have a lot of friends who are Bulls fans, specifically to my friend Jay. And the one thing that he always says as a Bull fan, it's always been the most frustrating thing for him, other than the fact that they can't draft talent, is front office. And even to this day, he has an issue with the front office. Like, he'll tell you the number one thing. Actually, I had a conversation with him a couple weeks ago, and the one thing he was excited about, he's like, they're finally getting rid of the front office. So I think it's kind of funny that even in today's NBA, Bulls fans are frustrated with the front office. So apparently that's always been a thing. And it was obviously a huge thing back in the 90s with MJ. But like I said, I'd never heard of Jerry Krause. I'd never heard of Jerry Reinsdorf. What I found interesting about that is that Krause was he had, from what I understand, had no knowledge of the NBA at all. Like, he was a Chicago White Sox scout, and he worked for them and knew very little about basketball, which I thought was interesting. So I thought that was an interesting pickup by Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner at the time, why he chose to go that route. What I also found interesting is a lot of people, if you remember, Adam, were telling him not to pick him or stay away from him. And yet he still went with that choice anyway. But, you know, to get more into this with my next question, so I don't want to dive too deep into it, but obviously, even though he knew very little about basketball, in a way, he did know how to assemble a good basketball team. And like I said, we'll get more into that. But so that's what I found interesting about episode one. What else?
You know who Krause kind of looks like? And I know someone else posted this on social media, but
from what I've been seeing on other news, people are saying he's like the Penguin from Batman.
That's a good one. I was going to go with on Space Jam, the manager.
Monstars. I've seen that one. Yep, I've seen that one.
And if you've seen Space Jam and kind of look at it, it kind of makes sense, which just makes you really think back to, you know, to how what the mindset was when that movie came out. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen that one as well. I thought that was pretty funny. So just staying on episode one, like I said, I'm glad that they focused on that. You know, I thought it was kind of cool to kind of see just like, obviously we knew Michael Jordan was big and he was this freakish athlete, but the thing I kind of thought was cool was that we kind of got to see what kind of star he was. Like, you know, a show where they went to Paris and he was more popular than the Pope. And that they had said that he was basically the closest to a god on earth, which I thought was pretty, that was like crazy, you know? So, you know, that's why I like sports documentaries, because you get to kind of see behind the scenes stuff that you don't see. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I guess in a way it was kind of cool to get wrapped up in that and just see like, man, Michael Jordan really was this big global icon. I mean, he still is now, but it, I don't know, for me, that was the coolest part of part one, was just seeing just how big of a superstar he was. And I found it was kind of cool how it showed kind of his North Carolina days.
I mean, be honest, when you were watching, you saw that he hit that game-winning shot to win national championship. Was that something that, like, when you think of Jordan, that pops into your mind? Or is that kind of like, oh, okay, that's just adds.
I mean, to me, like I had already seen that. Okay. I had already known that, you know. So there wasn't anything that I saw highlight wise or performance wise that like, whoa, I didn't know he did that. Like, cause like I said, I've seen pretty much all the major highlights of Jordan. You know, there hasn't really been any. Like, one thing I did learn, I did not know though, and I think this is more of episode two, where I did not know that he broke his foot. And sat out 62 games or whatever. Well, I did not know that. And I also did not know that even despite that Bulls won 30 games and still made it to the playoffs. Like, that was pretty great. I didn't know that. Because if you listen to players like Skip Bayless makes Michael Jordan seem like this guy who just never missed a game, never got hurt. And because he always bashes someone like LeBron, if he misses 12 games, like, oh, he's getting old. And, like, he just puts Michael Jordan on this pedestal. Like, he just never did anything wrong, never got hurt. So, you know, and so for him to, like, sit out, you know, 62 games, like, now I'm just like, okay, well, it makes me want to be like, what about this, Skip? You know, like, you know, so things like that was new. That's something, if I took anything from the documentary, I did not know that he got hurt 62 games, and then not only that, but he came back and led them to the playoffs. So that was pretty impressive. But as far as like his highlights in North Carolina, I knew all of that. I knew that he got cut from his high school team. I didn't know that the growth spur, if anything, that he went from like 5'9" to like 6'2" or something like that in like one offseason, like as far as when he went to high, I didn't know about that. But as far as highlights and achievements that he did, that was nothing new. For me, what I took away from episode one was just how global of a star he was even then, and how he was the biggest and hottest thing back then. And that was kind of cool. If I took anything from
episode one. Well, your first problem there is you were talking about referencing Skip Bayless, and that dude went off the rocker a long time ago with some of his crazy antics and opinions and things like that. But that's besides the point.
That's one thing we always agree with.
I mean, Stephen A. carried him. But...
And is Shannon Sharpe's carrying him even today?
Still, but... no, the growth spurt thing, I didn't really know. I knew he grew, but I didn't know he grew, like, that significantly. Like, I think Anthony Davis is another one that, like, his freshman and sophomore year in high school, he grew, like, I think 6 or 7 inches. Because he was a point guard prior to coming to playing significant high school basketball. And then he grew into, you know, power forward slash center that could dribble the ball. So, unfortunately, I don't think you and I
– And Scotty did the same thing, which was pretty cool, too. I didn't know about – well, okay, that's more –
No, you're good. I unfortunately, I didn't have that type of growth spurt. I was really hoping on it and, you know, praying every night that I would because I felt like I could go to the league and do something. But guys like us never had that growth spurt. So seeing someone else being able to go through that and take full advantage of it, you know, because a lot of people can have that and just think things are going to be given to them. But that's one thing I took away from the first episode is that everything that Jordan got, he earned. I mean, you would think that the family he can't, you, like, I didn't really know. I knew his family and his parents were both huge role models and they held a strict household, but I didn't realize it was that strict. And I definitely didn't know that he was constantly striving for his father's approval over his brother. That was pretty interesting. And that was kind of his driving force growing up. So.
Yeah, that was kind of more covered in episode 2, but yeah, definitely. I mean, we could bounce back between two, but one thing I, you know, since we're talking about two, the one thing that I actually found pretty interesting that you said about his upbringing with his parents, the fact that it, that carried on and went to college, you know, they kept telling about this incident. And there was a lot of memes about this on Facebook about how, what was it? The Bulls were named the cocaine circus or whatever. And what I kind of found about it was if, and I know it's kind of funny, but I kind of found like, man, my takeaway from episode 1 or episode 2, whatever it was, that Michael was kind of a snitch. Because the reporter asked him about it. He could have easily like said no comment or just not. He went. He pretty much said the whole team were in the room, and that there was cocaine, there was weed, and there were women, and then he was just like, I just left. Like he could have.
Think about from this standpoint, you know. A few years before that, I believe, there was a college basketball player out of Maryland. His name was Lynn Bias. And he was the number 2 overall pick by the Celtics. And at draft night, never done drugs in his life and tried cocaine and ended up overdosing and passing away. So, I mean, like, of mindset, I'm not saying that's what was on MJ's mind, but I mean – you know, that he was just so driven nonstop that, yeah, maybe you ratted out your teammates, but you were looking at the overall big picture and the betterment. They weren't taking the game seriously. They said that, I mean, the indoor soccer team had more fans going to games than the Bulls initially? I mean, like.
Yeah. Well, and like, I see these, but that's part of my problem that's always been with Jordan. Like, I always thought Jordan was very arrogant and pretty selfish and full of himself. And what I took away from that, when that part is like, man, he's always been that way. You know, he's always trying to, like, make it seem like he's better than you. And I'm not just talking about, like, on a sports basis, but he just has that I'm a better than you mentality. And I think that's – and we can get more of this as we talk, but I just think that's what pretty much this whole documentary is. I think this whole documentary is more of a hidden – reasoning behind all of this, and we'll get into that in a minute, but that's why I took away. I was like, damn, Jordan, you're kind of a snitch,
but you didn't have to do confidence that, can also know? Also be mistaken or as a cockiness, and I think what Jordan is 100% confidence. I think that, you know, it appears to be that other mindset and that other image being portrayed, but I think with him it's 100% confidence.
Definitely. So let me just let's get into a couple of the quick, you know, debate questions real quick about the first two episodes. So basically, the main reason 1 and 2 were pretty much covered was pretty much how was pretty much be Jordan versus the front office. You know, pretty much one of the things that I found that was pretty crazy was going into that 97-98 season, basically Jordan was saying he was never going to play for another coach other than Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson pretty much was told you can go 82 games and O, and you're still not coming back next year, which I thought was pretty insane. So I guess let me ask you this. So basically there were two main people that they kept referencing as front office, Jerry Krause and Jerry Reisendorf. I obviously say his name again. Krause was the GM and Reisendorf was the owner. So let me ask you this, Adam, in your opinion, if you're going to place the blame on either one of these individuals on the reason why the Bulls broke up after that 97 season, their second three-peat, who would you place more of the blame on, in your opinion?
I mean, it's easy to point the finger at Jerry Krause, but the owner of the team's the owner of the team. I mean, look at the present-day example. Look at the, you know, I don't want mean to go back to it because they're one of my favorite teams. Look at the Knicks with Dolan. I mean, you got
he's the worst owner.
Agreed. You got people. You got Spike Lee not going to games. You got Charles Oakley banned from the Garden. I mean, if you're the owner, you obviously have control over everything that goes on. It's why you're the owner. So I feel like it's easy to hide behind someone that's, you know, coming out and saying this is what I want to do, this is how I'm going to do it, type of, you know. And how that then that's how Krause was coming out, is that, you know, I'm the GM, this is how I'm going to do things. And I think it was easy for Reinsdorf or whatever his name is to hide behind the GM. So I think the owner should have more blame than is on him right now. And an interesting thing is that Krause actually passed away like at some point last year. So, you know, and I know Jordan had a lot of this footage, but I kind of wonder if the reason why the documentary came out and Jordan was okay with talking was because Krause had no way to communicate or say anything. So I have my
own theories behind that.
You know, so I think that without him being able to defend himself, it's kind of unfair to an extent, but I think it is pretty evident, you know, the thought process behind everything was that he was in charge of the team. He was going to do things the way he wanted to do it. And if you wronged him, he was going to take that personal, where you should at that point in that job title be able to take those things that are thrown at you and be professional about it.
Yeah. So I'm with you. Definitely Jerry. Like, obviously, in Steve Kerr references in the documentary that, you know, Jerry Krause did a lot of good things, but he also had this small man mentality where he, you know, he wanted all the credit, and maybe he was jealous that Michael was getting all the credit. So obviously there's a little ego on his side, but as we talked about at the beginning, he is responsible for some of the big moves in that, that made the team competitive. Like when they, you know, you reference you're a Knicks fan. Well, how do you think Oakley got to your Knicks? Well, he got traded there by Krause in order, and they got Wellington.
Wellington, Bill Wellington. Is his name.
So they got rid of Oakley, which Michael Jordan was very close to Oakley. So, I mean, that could have been really a risky move, moving someone who was close to Jordan. And they called him the protector.
Yeah, but I mean, but even with that being said, I mean, Jordan said, I think it was in the first episode,
Jordan ultimately approved of it.
You could tell his alliance was with Phil Jackson, because he said if Phil's gone, he's gone. I mean, I know he said they couldn't without Scottie, but I think Jordan's alliance 100% was with Phil Jackson.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and that's what I was about to say, too. That's why it's not absolutely Jerry's fault, the owner, because, I mean, by saying that you weren't bringing back, like, Jordan had already gone on record saying that he wasn't going to play for another coach. And then you have ownership already saying he's not coming back next year. So that pretty much says, based on what, that's basically like maybe testing Jordan and saying, well, let's see if he's for real. So that pretty much guaranteed Jordan was gone. I mean, he already said he had other options. And so that was his fault for doing that. But like you absolutely said, is yeah, he may be the GM, but you're the owner. You have final say. You know, kind of another situation you'd be hearing nowadays, the whole Patriots situation when they were debating Tom Brady, whether to bring Tom Brady back. Well, yeah, Belichick is, you know, the operator or whatever, but it's still Robert Kraft's team. If he wanted to bring back Tom Brady this year, assuming Tom Brady wanted to come back, he could have, despite what Belichick wanted. You know, so that was kind of like even more modern day situation that it was kind
of. But another part of it too is that the NBA just, I mean, like they referenced, the NBA exploded with Jordan. And I think no one in the sports world is ready for that type of exposure. And for one individual athlete to just change the way that the game was played. I mean, not necessarily like basketball, how it was played, but just how contracts worked and, you know, being part of PR worked and advertising, everything kind of changed once Jordan came and stepped into the league and became what he became. So I think that has a lot to do with it also. You know, no one was really ready and had an idea of what direction to go.
Right, and that's a good segue to my next question about the Scottie Pippen thing. So obviously you just said that the league took off and, you know, things like that. And so basically a key part of episode two was, to be honest, I know a lot about Michael Jordan, where his upbringing, his college, you know. But for the most part, Scottie Pippen, and obviously when you think about Michael Jordan, you think about Scottie Pippen. And for truthfully, I actually don't even know a lot about Scottie Pippen. So I kind of liked in an episode two, it focused on Scottie because I didn't really know much about him. I knew that he came from a small town, a small college. I knew that about him. But I had no idea about his growth spurt and also how he pretty much had to, like, he started as a video equipment person on the team. And then he got on the team that way. And then he went from, like, a video equipment to a lottery pick in the draft. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Heat's coach. You know, he started in a video and became a head coach. Spoelstra, you know, so I kind of like that he started from the bottom and then made his way onto the team to a lottery pick. So I didn't know that about Jordan Pippen. I also didn't know that Pippen's dad had a heart attack or had a seizure or whatever, or a stroke or whatever, and he was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And also that his brother was also in a wheelchair because he was paralyzed. Like, I didn't know anything about that about Pippen. And then also, you know, so I thought – so that was kind of cool. I like knowing. It sounds like they're going to do the same thing with Rodman, which I like. I like when they're going to be focused on other players other than Jordan. So I'm looking forward to the humor after that Rodman episode. And
yeah, I know one of the people that got interviewed for that is Rodman's ex-wife, Carmen Electra. So I look forward to seeing her and seeing what she has to say.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that will be interesting. But one of the things on episode two they focused on most was a contract situation with Scotty. Obviously, he signed a contract that pretty much was well below his worth. I think he signed for like $18 million over 6 years or something like that. And even the owner was like, don't sign this. And yeah, he did because he wanted to take care of his family back home. So you can't blame him there. But the way to get even, because he already felt underappreciated, you know, he had heard he was getting shopped by Jerry. So his thinking was that he was going to hold off on his surgery in the summertime. And then because he, in his words, didn't want to mess up his summer. And then instead decided to do it at the beginning of the season. Then he missed like the first half of the season. And Michael Jordan called him selfish. So I guess Adam, in your opinion, do you think that was a selfish decision by Pippen, or like, do you agree with what he
was? It was absolutely selfish. I mean, he could have had surgery in the off season, but he chose to, you know, do what he wanted to do, enjoy his life and everything. But it is 100% selfish if you look from a team standpoint. And I mean, basketball is a team sport. There's five players on the court, 12 to 13 on, you know, a total team. So you're letting your other teammates down by making a decision like that. But I think that, again, no one knew that the league was going to blow up how it did. So, I mean, if hindsight's 2020, if Scottie would have known that, you know, endorsements were going to be coming through the roof like that, he probably wouldn't have taken that contract because he could have had money coming in other forms. But, you know, you got family and close friends come first. So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But was it selfish? It was absolutely selfish. And
see, for me,
I was just going to say one thing that I kind of learned about Pippen is that you can kind of tell him and Jordan don't have the greatest relationship now, even. Because, I mean, Pippen's on the jump a lot on ESPN, and I know he does a lot of NBA commentary and stuff. And very rarely is Jordan's name referenced if you keep up with sports and watch, you know, the jump and some of those other shows. So, obviously, there's some tension still there, whether it's jealousy or whatever the case may be. But, obviously, the relationship has not mended or is 100%, you know, mutual.
Maybe we'll get a taste of that as the documentary goes on. Maybe we'll get more of an idea. But for me, I don't think it was selfish at all. I just think that he was just kind of a little too optimistic, you know. I don't know why he'd think that they would restructure his contract whenever they was already trying to be shopped. So obviously they were already trying to look for better opportunities and better players. So why would you think that they were going to pay redo your contract? The owner had already said himself in the documentary that pretty much his mindset was once you signed that contract, he didn't want to hear from you anymore. So for that reason, I just don't think he was selfish. And I keep hearing like these radios saying that, you know, you should, you know, you got to do what's in the best interest of your team and things like that. No, like you need to do what's in the best interest of you. You know, your money's your money. You know, even though what he was trying to accomplish was unlikely going to happen, you have to at least try. I understand the whole team concept, such and such, but at the same time, everyone especially in today's society, they'll hold out. You see athletes all the time holding out, and they do it for a reason. Yeah, a little bit selfishness, but also because the ownership.
But you're going to postpone a surgery 3 months or however long the off season was, where you could. I mean, I'm not a doctor or surgeon or anything, but ideally, if you're being told someone's telling me I need to have surgery on my foot or my ankle or something, I'm not going to wait if it, you know, could.
Yeah, but you have to think about this perspective, though, Adam, and he referenced this. He already felt underappreciated by the Bulls. He felt at some point he's going to be shopped. And so why would I do the best interest for the team if you're just trying to shop me anyway and you're treating me like garbage? So why do I care?
Yeah, but big picture, I mean, if you're worried about your playing career and being able to get another paycheck to support your family and everything, that defeats the purpose because you could.
But at that time, and it was referenced a few times, Pippen was already viewed as maybe the second or third best player in the league at that time. So he wasn't worried about getting another big contract. He knew it was coming. It was his last year of his contract. And, like, he knew he was a top player in the league. He knew he was going to get paid. That's why I think he ultimately made that decision. I also really think if he was a player that was kind of end of his career, I think absolutely he probably would have gotten the offseason. But he knew he was getting another contract, just like Jordan. That's why he made that comment, well, if it's not Phil Jackson, I'm just not going to play for anybody. Because he knew he had other options. I strongly think if he didn't have those options, sure, he would have got that surgery. That's me.
Let's give some shout-outs real quick. People that joined or were watching, my Uncle Sandy, shout-out to you. Jeanette Barnes, work with you. Thanks for watching. Spencer Bizzle, Mark Everett, Brian Maurice, Brittany Noop, Strecker's in, so you know some comments are going to be coming, and Devin Turner. So thank you all for tuning in. If you have anything you want to have said, you know, post it and we'll talk about it. Strecker's already said that Adam is right, but I don't need the validation to know I'm right. I know that when it comes to Robin basketball, I'm right. So thank you, though.
Anyway, so let me – I really want to get into this topic of why. This is the main one I wanted to get off my chest, this topic right here. So you referenced this already. You think that Jordan maybe – waited to release this documentary after Jerry Krause passed away so he could maybe dispute some of the things that Jordan would say. I have my own theory, Adam. I absolutely think that the reason why this documentary, and it was already proven and it's been reported, he gave the okay after the 2016 season when LeBron came back from 3-1 deficit and won. People are calling him the greatest of all time. Why now, at that exact moment, during the parade, did he give the okay? And that's because Jordan is always someone that's very competitive. And like I said, he's very selfish and he's all about himself, which is one of the reasons I can't stand about Jordan. Because when he does put his input about something, he says the most stupidest things ever. Like, he came out and said something when they talked about Jordan and LeBron and Kobe. They said, oh, there's something about 5 versus 3. Well, then, okay, well, there's something about 10 versus 6, you know, with, you know. So, like, Jordan just says the most stupidest things ever, and he doesn't think, you know. That's why I can't stand Jordan. Like, I'll give him his credit. He's one of the top greatest of all time, but I can't stand the cockiness of him. Or anything.
So LeBron, LeBron wasn't cocky when he came out with the decision. He wasn't cocky when he did that deal. Not one, not two, not three.
Okay, yes, sure. But I just think that Jordan is a very sensitive player. He's a very sensitive person. And the only reason why he released the document now, or when he decided to give the okay, was after 2016, because people were calling LeBron the GOAT and not Jordan. That's the only reason why this documentary got
permission. You're falling off your rocker there, man. That Coke must be laced with something that you're drinking.
Because LeBron has been the closest threat to him than anyone ever. Yeah, people say Kobe, and don't get me wrong, Kobe's a great player. Kobe is the closest player to Jordan that there's ever been. I always will say that. Like, yeah, and that's because Kobe purposely tried to be Jordan. But as far as, like, comparisons, like, overall athlete, like, LeBron is the closest threat to him, and he can't stand it. And he wants people to remind – that's why he's releasing it now during this quarantine when people are at home. He's trying to hope that these younger generation are persuaded. He's like, hey, let me remind you, hey, you may not have seen what I did. Let me release all these things, all these great accomplishments and all these great highlights that I did to try to remind you that it's me that's the greatest of all time and not LeBron. And that's all this reason. If LeBron would not have came back from 3-1, we would not see this documentary right now. Let's just be honest, Adam. We just wouldn't. He'd have no reason.
Yeah, but don't say that it's because of the quarantine, because that ESPN decided to move up the start date of when the documentary was going to be aired. So that has nothing to do with Jordan.
Oh, I think it absolutely does, because what I've been hearing is Jordan has all the calls. He's the one that gets the final edit on what gets on this documentary. He gets the final say on all of this stuff. You don't think that this was purposely done?
Not moving it up, no. Absolutely, but I mean,
I absolutely think that was purposely done. Just like this was given an okay again. This was given the okay to air after 2016. That was not a coincidence at all. LeBron is the closest thing to Jordan, and he's intimidated by that. He hates everyone that's saying that he's the GOAT and not Jordan. He's hoping that these younger generations will be persuaded to move off the LeBron bandwagon. I mean, it's even working on Trae Young. Trae Young even said, he came out, well, I may have to rethink this, because he's gone on record as saying LeBron is the greatest. And now he's trying to say, well, after this documentary, I might have to change my mind and say it's Jordan. You don't think that's what Jordan's trying to do?
I honestly don't think so, because Jordan needs validation, but not like LeBron does.
Doesn't need any validation, because people can see what he's done now. And so the only thing that people of these younger generation know about Michael Jordan now is that he's a terrible freaking owner for the Charlotte Hornets. That's what people know about Jordan right now. He can't draft players to save his life. He has just tennis shoes. He has the Jordans, and that's pretty much everybody knows about him. Like, okay, he has these shoes that everybody wants, and he's a terrible owner. That's what people, you know, the newer generation know about Jordan. They don't really know anything about what he's done. Like, yeah, he's won 6 championships. Everybody knows that. But I think this documentary, again, and is all about Jordan trying to dethrone the LeBron on that GOAT title. That's all it is. It's not fooling me. Look, that's why I can't stand him. He's a selfish, and he's such a sensitive player. He really is. He was sensitive even back when he was a player, bro. And like, it's not convincing me. That's the only reason why Jerry Krause. Yeah, sure, he may want to sort the story straight with Jerry Krause, but LeBron is the only reason why this is being released right now. Only reason. And it won't change my view who the GOAT is. I know you commented on this about this. Well, Rob, this documentary is not about once for all prove who's the GOAT. It absolutely is about that.
I don't think so, man. I think that it's just – I think a lot of why it came out is because Krause is dead and he cannot come and defend himself. And I think that there are some politics behind it being produced while he was alive for sure, because even though he might not have been involved with the Bulls operation – I mean, things get done a certain way. Like, for example, once that the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, went through all his drama and everything, was forced to step down, things have to be done a certain way. So I'm sure that that played into it more so than Jordan just wanting to show that he's the GOAT. He didn't have to do any of that. Why does LeBron wear 23?
I get all that.
Why does LeBron wear the number 23?
He could have really – okay, but why does any other, for the most part, anybody that's played basketball, like myself, like my friend, you know, my Devin Turner, reach out, you know, holler to Devin, you know, Michael, anyone that's watching right now. But for the most part, growing up playing basketball, if you were given a choice for a number, pretty much anybody went for 23. But, I mean, and yeah, when I was little, sure, that was a popular number for me because obviously Michael Jordan. But like, and of course, like LeBron's gone on record say that, you know, LeBron or Jordan was a big influence on him. Like, obviously, but like he's a student of the game. He studies the history of the game. You know, obviously Jordan, Magic, players like them set the foundation of what the NBA is today. There's no denying that. But what I'm saying is this whole drama with Jerry Krause, like that again, he could have released that years ago. But again, it was just the timing of it, Adam, is why I'm saying it's ironic. Now, if you were to give the okay to release it now, sure, I still have my doubts and say, yeah, it's still LeBron has a little bit. But it was the timing of it. Like in 2016, people were pretty much saying LeBron is the GOAT. He's the only player to ever lead a team of 3-1. Like LeBron was on top of the world. Why at that moment? Okay, you know what? Release it now.
Okay, first off, if Durant wasn't, and you're talking about people that are all in their emotions. Durant is the queen of that. If OKC didn't blow that lead, the initial 3-1 lead, they would have beaten Cleveland in the championship. I'm 100% sold on that. That was OKC's year to lose.
If OKC
didn't lose the 3-1 lead against Golden State and Durant wasn't already a Warrior at that point in time during the series, which he was, I'm 100% certain that OKC was going to win the championship over Cleveland. No doubt in my mind.
How can you say that? Because LeBron already beat your Harden and Westbrook and Durant. They were still
in their diapers, man. They still had bankies in their mouth. What do you expect?
What are you talking about? Durant was already, what, a three-time, four-time scoring champion at that time? Like, yeah, Harden, if anything – Harden was,
and not only that, but LeBron stacked the deck. Harden, I mean, he went and played. Come on!
Oh, come on!
That was a purely drafted team.
Come on! And even though the series ended in 4-2, that series was highly competitive. And so, don't try to tell me that you're going to try to say that the Heat outmatched your Thunder, because again the series will make you believe it was that.
Speaking
was
of Durant, his biggest fan Michael Strecker wants me to read this comment informing us about what MJ did only hurts your opinion of GOAT status if you are uninformed of what happened.
Anyway, so
oh gosh.
But anyway, so like no, I mean. I think I'm just saying, like, I'll give you Durant is the softest athlete. I'll give you that. But to try to tell me that they were going to beat Cleveland. No, absolutely not. They were not going to, like, no, they would not have had it. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, like, that's all this was. Everything is not, this is not a coincidence when this is coming up. I strongly believe it was pushed. Pushed up due to quarantine. There's nothing else going on. And so LeBron thought, or, you know, Michael came out and said, you know, let's push it up. We're all these people are not in school. Let's just produce.
Where's the Trump emoji? Where's the Trump emoji that says just wrong? I could just post right in your face right now. No. Jordan had no control over when they got of when. Let me finish though. Jordan did not make the decision for ESPN to move it up. That was a strategic move to get viewership in because, all right, did you watch the 2K tournament? Did you watch the horse tournament? The 2K tournament, I liked it, but I mean, I'm also a gamer, so, and I play 2K.
I'll be
honest. The horse tournament was a joke, man. Who wants to watch Paul Pierce and his out of shape, overweight person try to shoot like between the leg shots like Zach LaVine shooting? No one wants to watch it.
Well, first of all, who wants to watch?
Agreed. 100% agreed.
The day that they took him off ESPN was the greatest because he was stupid. Like, when it comes to Paul Pierce and what he thinks in basketball, I really have no care what Paul Pierce thinks about any insight on basketball because I don't think he
has. Plus, he's a Jayhawk, so don't forget that.
He's a Jayhawk, and he's a hypocrite. And I mean, that we can get a hole into the, you know, he's the one that he bashed and shunned Ray Allen for going to Miami, but yet then he, you know, like, oh, he demanded a trade, and what does he do?
Oh, come on, that was
so apparently
that was one. It's the same thing. You're right. They are wanting to go to a better situation and try to buy a championship, which is what sports is now. It's buying championships. So, I mean,
obviously what Ray Allen did, if you're going to try to, I mean, what Ray Allen did and what KD did are two different things. I've heard people compare that. Like, are you kidding me? You're going to try to say that Ray Allen was on the same level as Kevin Durant? Absolutely not. So, yeah, I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. I mean, we can debate this on and on, and we will never get to a common ground where we agree. But it makes for a good debate, as always. You and I, you're going to be stuck with Jordan here to go, or Carmelo.
Let me throw something at you real quick, okay? So Jordan played 15 seasons, right? His earnings, as far as contracts go, and I understand it's different time periods, but his earnings were $93 million. How many years has LeBron played? Okay, his total earnings, including this year, just off of contracts, for what he has played is $272 million. My question to you is, they both have earned their money, but whose return on investment was more? Was it Jordan's for $93 million, or is it LeBron's for $272? Because if you're asking me, 6 for 6, man, that's no one's ever going to do that again. LeBron can't even win 50% of his finals appearances that he's in.
I mean, let's be honest. The only reason why Jordan is still relevant in today's society is because of his
shoes. Get the hell out of here.
And not only that, but also the reason why he's still relevant in today's
world. You're on some of that Antonio Brown medicine or something, man. Come on.
I'm just saying, if it wasn't for LeBron in the league, his name wouldn't constantly be in the news right now, because what have you always heard since LeBron's been in the league? LeBron or Jordan, LeBron or Jordan, LeBron or Jordan. And then, so like, you take LeBron out of the equation, what other player in the NBA are they compared to Jordan in today's league today? No one. It was always Kobe or LeBron that were probably the next closest to be compared to Jordan, or the threat to Jordan. So again, so you take LeBron out of the league. So let me put in, it'll be interesting to hear this when LeBron retires in 2 or 3 years, whatever it is. It'll be interesting to see how often Michael Jordan is actually brought up in debate shows and in NBA altogether. Unless someone comes else that's in the league that they has similarities, and sure, everybody has some sort of similarities to Jordan in some ways. Like, you know, you can make the case that even KD has kind of maybe a scoring mentality like Jordan. You know, or you can say that Russell Westbrook has that dog in him like Jordan. But like, as far as like closest overall game, just been either Kobe or LeBron. So it'll be interesting to see in a few years if there's going to be even remote talk of Jordan in the game of basketball.
There'll always be talk of Jordan in basketball,
But yeah, no, I agree with you on that. But would it be as often as frequently if LeBron wasn't in the league today? So that's how I'm interested to see in a couple years when LeBron does retire, how often will we be hearing Jordan in regular sports talk? I don't think you're going to. I think, and I'm not, obviously Jordan's never going to be irrelevant, because obviously you can't tell the story of basketball without mentioning Jordan. Obviously you can't. But what relevancy will he be to talk about outside of history? You know, I that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think he's always going to be relevant cultural wise because of his shoes. And obviously Jordan is a name brand. It's a popular brand. 2K even though Jordan hasn't played in years, 2K obviously still, you know, publicizes him, you know, the Jordan gym, things like that. So like outside of, but I just really don't think in like 3 or 4 years, his name is not going to be brought up that often in the game of basketball, as far as what's going on right now, not history, but what's going on right now. I don't think there's going to be any athlete that they're going to be talked about in the same sentence with him as far as current players. So like, that's the only reason why he's current right now. Why, other than LeBron, is his shoes, bro. That's all it is. He's still a name brand. He's always going to be a name brand. That's where he makes all his money right now, is off of
You're crazy, his man. Shoes. That's, if that's really what you think, then you.
That is obvious. That is clearly what I think. Because whenever Jordan brought up in today's society, it's Jordan, LeBron. That's it. But when LeBron steps away, what reason will Jordan have to be brought up? Other than when you're talking about the history of basketball. Give me a scenario why he would be brought up.
I mean, think about it. He's married to a girl that's half his age. So there's that.
And honestly, I don't even know about that. I don't even know. The only thing, other than Jordan's shoes and his basketball career, the only thing I know about Jordan is he likes to play golf, and at one point he had a gambling problem. That's really the only thing I know about
Jordan. Okay, so then you got LeBron who you got to admit he has some type of say in the fact that a Space Jam 2 is coming out.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I get that. And also, I want to bring this up too. I also think that LeBron's going to be relevant
outside. But social media is bigger, man. There wasn't social media back then. Of course he's going to be bigger.
Well, even if they're – but what I mean is, like, now is, like, LeBron – social media is big now, and Michael chooses not to be – on social media, which, okay, that's his he doesn't have to be, but also LeBron actually lets his voice be known on issues that are big in society. Jordan decides not to. So it takes something like a documentary or his name to be brought up in combination with LeBron for his name to even be relevant nowadays, except for
issues. Crazy, man.
I'm not saying he's never going to be forget as far as basketball in the history of game. Obviously, he's not. But I honestly think when it comes to when LeBron retires, his name is going to be very rarely brought up unless there's another athlete that comes out that shows a lot of similarities. Like,
LeBron. Why does it need to be brought up? Everyone knows what he did. I mean, and
but what I'm saying is, you asked me, like, why, you know, what I'm just saying, like, that's the only reason why he's relevant. That's the only reason why this documentary is out, is because of LeBron. Like, it just, like, people just, like, yeah, LeBron, his focus to be better than Jordan. Like, you can make the case, as much as LeBron is focused on Jordan,
no.
Jordan is focused on LeBron.
No.
Yes. They need each other. It's kind of like Carole Baskin needs Exotic Joe. They need each other because they profit.
So now we're comparing LeBron James and Michael Jordan to the Tiger King and the woman that killed her husband. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying, like, they need each other, bro. They, you know, they
Jordan chooses to live the lifestyle that he lives. He doesn't need to validate for anything. The fact that everyone's been bringing up LeBron as the GOAT or the next Jordan since he was in Cleveland. I mean, since he was in high school. That's not anything on Jordan wanting to come out and put this documentary out to put to rest that he's the GOAT. It has nothing to do with that.
The real question is, when is Jordan going to be the next LeBron? That's what I want to know.
Where's the mute button, man? Seriously.
When is Jordan going to surpass LeBron? That's what I want to know. You know, he can't, because he can't play anymore. What he's done is done, you know? So the only thing that Jordan can – he'll have the king over. He's always going to have the title of shoe king. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT of shoe sales. LeBron will never touch him in shoe sales. I'll give him that. As far as a brand, Jordan will always own the brand title. You know, but as far as player, that's always on LeBron.
If you take Jordan right, if you take Jordan in his prime and put him in today's basketball, would he thrive?
I mean, only
it's not only because it's a yes or no. Would he thrive?
No, but it is only because the game of basketball is not what it is now than it was back then. So he'd be easy for him to exceed more now than it would be back then. That's what kind of made more impressive the fact that in a physical more league he was able to dominate. But in today's society, in today's game, I think it's a little bit more easier to excel. Just like in the NFL, why it's a lot more easier to excel at quarterback or play longer is because
it's a score first league now. It's not, it's not a grinded out game anymore. It's
and that's right. Why LeBron, and that's why Michael would exceed, because it's a score
first. But I mean, that's why, and that's what I'm getting at, is you can put Jordan in any generation of basketball and he would succeed. LeBron started getting bullied like in the late 80s, early 90s, how the game was played, he'd eventually get.
Because LeBron has already been, he's always been a freakish big ass athlete. So Jordan, and it's going to cover this in the newest episodes coming up, Jordan had to bulk up in order to be get ready for those bad boy Pistons. I think LeBron he'd be ready to play for against the bad boy Pistons today.
Bill Laimbeer would shove him to the ground, and LeBron would just back up in a corner. Absolutely so.
Absolutely not, Adam. But anyway, Adam, what's something you're looking forward to with episode 3 or 4 before we sign off?
Just the further showing of. To your generation and anyone that's younger didn't watch Jordan, what that team did, but just how he, any challenge thrown at him, he always stepped up to the plate and got through that challenge and was able to accomplish what he accomplished. So I'm looking forward to everyone seeing that. I mean, just the short amount of highlights that they showed in the first episode. Come on, man. No one can do what he's done. No one's ever going to get close to doing some of the things that he's done on the basketball court.
The only thing I will say about Jordan is we probably will never see another, like, freakish athlete the way. And we also probably won't even see another competitor like Jordan. I would say, again, the closest maybe – in my opinion, you may disagree with this or not, but I don't know. You're a big Russ fan. But I think as far as straight-up aggressiveness and competitiveness, I think, in my opinion, Wessel Rusbrook is probably the closest as far as today's athletes, in my opinion, in the NBA. I just think that I love watching Westbrook play because he just, in my opinion, always seems like he plays at
100%. Shout-out to Westbrook. I know you're probably watching in Houston, so still love you here in OKC.
I don't really ever, I don't ever watch a game and really of Westbrook and be like he's taking a day off,
right?
Like, you know. And so in that sense, I would say that Westbrook is the closest to Jordan as far as athleticism today. For someone that's as small as he is, you know,
if load management was a thing back when Jordan was playing, you would hear nonstop about him getting fined or something. For refusing to sit out games, for whatever the case may be. LeBron, on the other hand, load management, I'll sit out and eat my tacos and you know, poke fun at people and dance on the sideline. Yeah, I'll do that. That's not Jordan, though.
But he doesn't do load management. LeBron's like other than his growing injury, he missed like under what?
Doesn't do load management. Man.
You can make the case. He's the most durable athlete. I mean,
here's the deal, man. Anyone over the age of 30 is more than likely gonna side with Jordan. Anyone under 30 or like right at 30 is gonna side with LeBron, and that's just how it's gonna be. I mean,
obviously people, and then not only that, but just athletes too. Athletes are going to fight for their generation that they played up on. They're going to defend that, and that's how it is. I just know that when I have my own kids, I will teach them the right and wrong person and who the good is. And I hope, Adam, you do the same. And I hope that you don't let – to me, I think that your kids are probably going to think Carmelo is the greatest as much as
they absolutely will think he's one of the greatest.
I hope. And we can get in debate about Carmelo at another time. I mean, he's not really worth the debate. What's their debate about Carmelo? He's the greatest player that come out of Syracuse, I guess.
You guess? I mean, I don't know. Come on, man.
Truthfully, I can't really name 10 players from Syracuse.
Deion Waiters came from Syracuse. Hakeem Warwick came from Syracuse. Derek Coleman came from Syracuse. Dievendorf didn't play in the NBA, but yeah, he came from Syracuse. There's a lot of guys that have come from Syracuse that have played in the league. World Be Free, I mean, come on, the list goes on and on.
I mean, I expect you to know that you're a Syracuse fan. I expect you to know that. So that doesn't impress me. That's like, I expect you to know more than the average college basketball.
Well, I know more about sports than the average fan because I choose to. That's just me.
Well, that's true. But what I'm saying, your specific, you know, expertise on Syracuse, for someone like myself knowing you.
Right. It's kind of like how you're a huge fan of the Falcons and you really thought that they were going to win the division, you know, dating back to one of our earlier episodes where we picked the divisions and.
Yeah. But you can never plan out injuries. You can never plan out, you know, stretches that we don't care about Tom Brady being in the division. Gronk now, we don't care about all that.
I'm glad we had a reason to come on and do this because I know that we've all three of us, including Dustin, been chomping at the bit to come back and try to make something work. So I'm glad that it's something that we're all passionate about and can come out and speak. And you know,
if you want, we can easily do episode three.
That's fine with me, man. This is probably the first time that at least I've done one of these podcasts where we've been 100% on the opposite sides of the opinions as far as that goes. And I don't think that's going to change. So, I mean, we're really leaning on some of the fans of the show to actually tune in each week. Because I think we should do something reviewing each week as the documentary goes on. I think that it's important to have some fan feedback. So, anyone that's watching, if you have any type of insight or feedback, please feel free to say something.
I've said this over and over, even we're doing the show actively. I need to get Strecker on
here. Man, that's the kiss of death right there.
Like, Strecker, I know you're watching. I need to debate you one time. We can just have a show where Adam asks the questions and you and I just go back and forth an entire show. That in itself would be interesting. I'm sure Adam would just open up the beer and just let us go at it. But I need to debate you one time, Strecker, before I
It die. Wouldn't be a beer. It'd be taking shots of Jack, man. That would be interesting show. But
Just like I would love to see, well, at the time, there was a time I'd like to see Pickup and Dustin debate, and we never got that. I would love to see me and Strecker go at it. And we can debate LeBron all we want, and we can dedicate a whole show about LeBron versus Jordan, whatever you want to do, and let's just go at it. You know, before you have your kid, congratulations, by the way, I want to debate you. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to embarrass you because then your kid might be like, damn, my daddy got embarrassed. So maybe we should think about this. But I would love to if you're open for the
shots fired. Shots fired.
So.
But to kind of wrap everything up, because I think we've been going on and on, and we'll end this debate after the last couple episodes on who the GOAT is, because I think that's going to be ongoing, and we'll each have insight each week. But what are, you know, with everything like we talked about to open up going on, you know, what's some of the things you're looking forward to besides this documentary and just in general as far as how life's going?
I just want sports to return. More sticking with basketball, I really hope that they don't cancel the season because I strongly do believe that I think the Lakers are going to try to, and this, I honestly think they were going to win this for Kobe this year. Just for the fact, I think the NBA needs this season, you know, since it's been a rough year with Kobe, I think they need to see the season end. Not only that, but I honestly think that this is LeBron's best chance to win a championship this year with KD or with AD, because KD's coming back next year. So that's already going to make, and then the West is already going to be stronger next year with Klay Thompson and Steph going to be back healthy in theory. So I really think this is the best opportunity for LeBron to get a championship this year. And so that's why I want them to finish, because they had the best record.
Second best record.
And I also, and the best record in the West. And I strongly wanted this whole beef to settle who is better, the Clippers or the Lakers. Like, I just need that to be resolved. I need a conclusion to that. I don't want no more speculation. Well, my opinion is this. I want it to be proven on the court, and that's why I need this season to end. So right now, from what we're heard, is they're not making a decision until June, likely. So as long as that decision in June is they're going to resume the season, they already said that when it does come back, if it does, it'd be like 1 month of training camp. So that's cool. So at least they can get – I know they're not going to be in game shape. You can get some of that rust off. That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't really care about the – baseball, I don't really care about. I'm confident the NFL is going to start on time. I just need the NBA to come back and let the season end the right way, with LeBron getting ring number 4 and MVP. I strongly think he's the MVP over Giannis.
No bias there. No bias so, there.
What's that? No bias. I just need LeBron to get MVP number 5 and ring number 4. And, yep, that's what I need. So, anyway, Adam, with that being said, since we agree on those last two things, let's end the show for this week and let's pick up
episode 3 and 4. Yeah, I'm glad to actually connect with you again and the fan base. It's been a while, like we said. But, you know, it's cool. Comforting to be able to come in and talk about something like this that everyone's so passionate about. And now we have actual reason to debate, you know, Jordan versus LeBron, even though it shouldn't be any debate. You know, and just for the sports world to get back going, you know, I'm ready for Joe Exotic to release another music video when he gets out of prison. There's a lot of things to look forward to right now. And I think everyone needs to maintain a positive mindset and really do your part in helping out. Once everything opens back up, support local businesses, you know, keep everything moving like there was no gap in time and no pause button was hit. That's going to be real important moving forward. So,
hey man, you're in Oklahoma. You should stop by.
The prison. I actually already did stop by the prison about 2 to 3 weeks ago, because the prison is about an hour south of here. So I did stop by. There were no protesters.
Okay.
Nothing was being said. I was kind of surprised, but
well, let him know that when he gets out, if he gets out, that he has a platform on this show that he could tell us all about that bitch Carole Baskin.
Man, I would, but I know husband. Being an extremely attractive male that he might try to make me one of his husbands. So I'm going to have to keep my 6 feet distance from him when I'm talking to him. But absolutely.
Well, you better be careful. He might give you some cocaine, might buy you some guns, or he might buy you season tickets.
Hey, season tickets are season tickets, so.
All right, Mr. Birchman, well, it was awesome catching up, man. Thanks for everybody that tuned in, and we're going to catch up with you guys at some point after episodes 3 and 4, and we'll discuss what we think about those. So, thanks for tuning in. And,
two things real quick, though, Rob.
Rob,
two things real quick. So we also are recording this on Anchor. It's a podcast app. So we'll I know Rob's real good about doing the editing and everything, so it will be posted on Anchor. And just to close it out, man, I've just got a little song bite I want to play here. I don't know if you can hear that or not. So that's from a show in the 70s called Welcome Back, Cotter, and that's the theme song. So I'd like to welcome you back and everyone back, and hopefully we can keep this train rolling.
For sure. All right, guys. Well, we're going to deuce out, and we'll catch you guys later. Stay, do your part, social distance.